This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy rolling through the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Mara Silvers. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
I'm Shaylee Riker. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
And I'm Nikki Willett, News Director at Yellowstone Public Radio.
It's week 7 of The Session. As of midday on Friday, 731 bills have been introduced, and Governor Greg Gianforte has signed 2 bills into law. This week, we're watching bills about vaccines, coal strip, and public assistance programs. Nikki, let's go to you first. And as there are COVID-19 vaccines ramping up around the state, you're looking at a couple of bills that deal with immunization requirements.
Yeah, 1 in the workplace and 2 in schools. So first up, Senator Keith Regier has introduced Senate Bill 132. It's already moved through the Senate and is now before the House Business and Labor Committee. This bill would require employers that require workers to be vaccinated and has some kind of alternative accommodations for medical or religious reasons. That same alternative must be available to any employee who requests it. And Regier spelled it out that way at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing last month.
If one subgroup can have an alternative accommodation, then all should be offered that same accommodation.
So, Nikki, how much would this bill actually change?
Personal belief is really the new thing here. Federal laws like Title VII and the Americans with Disabilities Act already outline medical exemptions or for people with sincerely held religious beliefs, practices, or observances. But the moral, ethical, or personal objections, those are currently not protected. Senator Regier said a lot of healthcare organizations, for example, require all of their employees to get something like the flu vaccine each year. And if you have underlying health condition that makes that not an option for you, you can opt out. Dr. Marion Coomer testified last month at that Senate hearing on behalf of the Montana chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And she was pretty strongly against Regier's bill, saying that this would basically make any kind of mandatory workplace vaccine optional because anyone could opt for an exemption. And she said that this bill would work to weaken the vaccine protection for the whole community and not just for individuals.
And in another segment of our community, lawmakers are also proposing to weaken vaccine requirements for schools.
Yeah, Representative Ed Hill, a Republican from Havre, is backing House Bill 332, which would expand the definition of immunizations required for school attendance. Specifically, it would redefine immunization to include previous infection and recovery and something called homeoprophylaxis. This is a type of homeopathy, which is a medical system based on the belief that the body can heal itself when it's aided with small amounts of a naturally occurring substance. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there's no credible scientific evidence to support claims that homeopathic immunizations can be used to substitute for conventional immunizations. And House Bill 332 will be in front of the House Human Services Committee this week.
What do we know about how other states have handled these types of requirements?
The National Conference on State Legislatures says all 50 states have laws that require certain vaccines for school-age students to go to school, and all of those laws grant medical exemptions. 45 states also allow for religious exemptions, and 15 states allow for what's called a philosophical exemption for kids whose guardians object to immunizations based on personal, moral, or other beliefs. Montana currently offers that exemption based on religious beliefs, but not on philosophical beliefs. And again, a note here that studies have found that these non-medical personal belief exemptions, the rate of people applying for those has increased over the past 2 decades. That's led to an increased risk of disease outbreaks in those clusters of children that have those exemptions.
And there's also another bill related to school vaccinations from Representative Jennifer Carlson. What would that one do?
She's backing House Bill 334, which would relax the requirements to get one of those immunization exemptions. Currently, state law requires a licensed physician to sign off on immunization exemption statements or forms. Carlson's legislation would change that to a person licensed to provide health care. So that could include nurses. And that licensed person doesn't have to be the student's current healthcare provider. It could be someone who previously provided healthcare. The bill would also prevent local and state health departments from reviewing exemption statements or forms for the purpose of granting or denying the exemption. House Bill 334 is going in front of House Human Services this week.
I think there's going to be a lot of interest about all of those bills. Shaylee, you're watching a totally different set of bills this week that would change the requirements for energy producers in the state, and one in particular would impact coal-reliant towns.
Yeah, so I'm watching Senate Bill 87. That's from Republican Dwayne Ankeny. He's a senator from Colstrip. Colstrip is the well-known town in Montana that is home to the Colstrip power plant. So this bill aims to ensure that the town of Colstrip has access to water even after the power plant shuts down. So right now, water is piped into Colstrip from the Yellowstone River and a nearby lake, and the five owners of the power plant own that infrastructure. And so right now, with already three owners who are selling their shares of the power plant, Ankeny says he wants to ensure that the town will still have access to that infrastructure that the power plant owners own right now. This bill would also keep the coal-fired power plant owners on the hook for the cost of water remediation into perpetuity. Ankeny talked about this bill being as an important piece to keeping Colstrip a place where industry wants to be.
If there is a chance that Colstrip should get industry in there, anything you do, you got to have water.
So as with a lot of things to do with Colstrip, this sounds pretty technical. What do you think Senator Ankeny is really getting at here, Shaylee?
The big picture here is that the coal industry in Montana, like it is all over the United States, is in decline. And Senator Ankeny is trying to prepare the town to transition from being reliant on the coal-fired power plant that's there. We'll see more bills from Ankeny later this session that aim to make owners of the power plant couch the economic blow of the closure. And this is one of the first that he's bringing. In a similar vein, we'll see a bill this week from Representative Braxton Mitchell of Kalispell. That's House Bill 314, and it would require the Public Service Commission to consider the economic impact of coal plant closures when they're making regulatory decisions. I really see these bills as policies that are trying to tie up the loose ends of Montana's energy past.
There's also a bill looking at changing how renewable energy is developed in the future.
This week, I'll be watching Senate Bill 197, also from Senator Janet Ellis. She's a Democrat from Helena. This bill would eliminate the requirement for developers of community renewable energy projects to live in Montana. The Montana Environmental Information Center, an organization that has long lobbied for and advocated for renewable energy in Montana, wrote that Senate Bill 197 would make it easier for developers to build small-scale community renewable projects and sell that electricity to Northwestern Energy.
Mara, you've got eyes on another topic the legislature is debating. That's how Montana could change rules for public assistance programs. One of those is House Bill 339.
Right. Yeah, this is a proposal that's brought by Representative Frank Fleming out of Billings. It requires that in order to be eligible for SNAP benefits, which is the federal supplemental nutrition assistance program, a person must also be cooperating with the requirements for child support payments. I haven't had a chance to talk to Fleming about his bill yet, and it's not scheduled for a hearing until Thursday. But the first section of this bill says it's intended to reduce child poverty and dependency by ensuring that parents cooperate with state efforts to collect child support. So basically, long story short, it's meant to leverage SNAP benefits, which used to be called food stamps, to get parents to pay up on child support.
Have other states tried that strategy?
Yeah, a handful have, about six as of 2018. And in that year, Congress was also considering a national requirement like this, and it ended up with mixed reviews. The Congressional Budget Office estimated that it would substantially increase administrative costs for states, and it wouldn't necessarily help recoup child support for most SNAP families that aren't receiving it right now. The National Child Support Enforcement Association also weighed in on that, and they said that they weren't going to support the policy because it needed more study on a state-by-state level. So here in Montana, Fleming's proposal hasn't received a fiscal note yet that explains how exactly it could impact the Department of Public Health and Human Services. But when that gets published, it'll definitely help us understand more about the potential results of this bill.
Mara, what kind of opposition do you expect to see to this bill?
There are people who are definitely expected to oppose this, and it's kind of the same coalition of people who have been advocating for more expansive access to public assistance programs like Montana Budget and Policy Center, the Montana Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. But until the hearing, it's hard to say exactly where the divisions are going to land on this.
It'll be interesting to see where that one goes, Mara.
So, of course, this year, reporters aren't just tracking politics at the legislature. Shaylee, where are we in terms of how COVID-19 cases are stacking up in the session?
Yeah, Mar, we've seen at least two additional confirmed cases among lawmakers at the Capitol. We also learned last week from the Capitol contact tracer that she's identified more than two dozen close contacts to cases associated with the Capitol. So that includes two confirmed cases among legislative staffers as well.
Before we go, the right to work bill that we talked about on the podcast last week, that hearing has been canceled and rescheduled for this week. And the confirmation hearings for Governor Gianforte's department head nominees are underway and moving forward this week. Shaylee, Nikki, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Mara.
Thank you.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.